So, coming up next on the archives and probably on the stream here, too, is the Free Radio Santa Cruz Bathrobes Piers broadside show for July 27th, 2023. I was going to give you more original material, but it appears our transmitter, or our web, which deals with our, not our transmitter, but our website handler, who operates out of Texas, is experiencing problems, so it's going in and out. So what I'm doing is I'm going to give you instead something I'm able to download directly from my own computer, which is two segments of a show, well, two shows, actually. The only remaining segments of those shows that I've yet been able to find. One from April 27th, 2000, one from April 30th, 2000. Back-to-back shows, in essence. Before I do, sort of as a teaser, I'm going to play a bit of a conversation, a snatch of a conversation I had with Cooper D'Angelo, who reported to me several times in the last few days by phone of police sweeps, abuse, seizure of property, violation of basic human civil rights under the Martin versus Boise decision of a campsite, series of campers. She estimated there were numbers were about 30 up around the at the end of Golf Club Drive. The kind of remains of the refugees who fled from the Highway 9 arrests. Well, I should say deportations and demolitions of campsites. So we're going to start with that. We'll do a little bit of that, and then we're going to go directly into these flashback segments, which are, I think they're beginning of the two shows, the April 27th and the April 30th, 2000 shows from 23 years ago. And I'll say a little bit more about that at the end of this very brief preview, where you'll be hearing more of it on Sunday, assuming we get our website up again and working. But let's see what we can do now. Today is the 25th of July. I think we're 25th. And I'm talking with Cooper D'Angelo, and it's about 9 o'clock in the morning. I just gave you a call, Cooper, to see what has been happening, because you predicted yesterday that, well, you predicted nothing would happen, but you also were wondering what would happen, and I was wondering, too, because police threatened to return and evict the community of 30 people that are living up at the end of, what is it, Golf Club Road, or whatever it's called?
Right. It's in the, up in the Poconos, so it's past, yeah.
Yeah. So so you say instead the police came and delivered two porta-potties, but of unknown purpose, huh?
Right. What I saw this morning, a lot of people have packed their things and stashed them in the bushes to avoid being robbed by police.
Mm-hmm.
So that at the same time, I noticed a truck coming up the road, pulling two porta potties on the flatbed, and they dropped it off a little up the road from us at the entrance of the other camp area. And then one of the police guess he parked over by the porta potty but didn't talk to anybody. And then he left. And then now a police on a four-wheel motorcycle quad came up. So we're not sure if the porta-potties were delivered for us.
Or against you, yeah.
Right? Because or if it's workmen that they're doing it for. So we're just hanging tight. We haven't packed anything because this is the best place that we can be right now. And the rest of the people, too.
So I don't like to be anticlimactic and spoil the suspense, but it was, unfortunately, porta-potties, though they don't mind providing them, the city, for workmen destroying encampments without providing alternative housing for them. Apparently they did refuse to provide porta-potties for people who were living there for a couple of months after the demolition of the Highway 9 encampment. And, of course, the Highway 9 encampment never got porta-potties. Or actually, it had them like, I don't know, a year and a half ago during the COVID scene, but they were taken away very soon after. And the porta potties that had been at the Benchlands area, I think there were 10 or 11 of them, 8 or 9 of them, something like that, along the path of the upper San Lorenzo Park area, sort of somewhat near the duck pond, were removed, of course, when the Benchlands people were removed and their property destroyed, and they were never replaced. I guess finally they did open the long closed bathroom 6 months later, I might add, which was, it was never explained to me by, I'm not quite sure when it was reopened, but it certainly wasn't reopened when it was needed for people who were living in the Benchlands. And the Benchlands porta potties were never replaced in the campgrounds that formed from the refugees from the Benchlands, and likewise in the Highway 9 areas when that was dispersed. Similarly, there were not porta potties set up for people who went to other areas. Obviously, the city's interest in public health and safety, if it exists at all for poor people outside, is extremely secondary to aesthetics, to maintaining a hostile demeanor toward homeless people so they don't try to get together in encampments, campgrounds, seek legal support for their basic civil rights. And so the city could continue to pretend everything is okie-dokie and return to the status quo ante, as they call it, the status quo before, the bad situation that went on in the past. It's like sort of rewinding the clock the way the Roe versus Wade decision has been overturned by the Supreme Court, turning us back to the bad 50s for women in many states in need of abortions. Anyway, you'll be hearing more from Cooper. I'll be playing more, although I'm not sure how much more, on Sunday, when we, assuming that we can get some actual effective communication with the website, which I can't guarantee. But what you're about to hear now are, again, two segments from 2000, April, late April, the 27th and the 30th. You'll hear activist James Ney, who was a strong supporter of ending the sleeping ban, did a lot of tabling on the sidewalk between the Del Mar and New Leaf on Pacific Avenue, was harassed by the hosts, who are, I guess, the group that has replaced them is not as harassing as the old hosts. In fact, I haven't heard a lot. I wanted to say a lot of bad reports. I don't know that I've heard any bad reports yet. But again, I have not heard any bad reports from the so-called ambassadors or hosts, the people who are supposed to give direction to tourists. And they were actually billed as helpers to mediate downtown situations, when in fact, when they were introduced in 1995 and the old bad hosts, if you want to describe them that way, were they were really the eyes and ears of the police. They were kind of snitches, and they were sort of cheap police labor, that they couldn't give out tickets, but they could frighten people away, because often that's the main action that the police does. The police do in Santa Cruz, and do it is frighten people away. They don't want to go through the rigmarole and possibly face legal consequences and constitutional violations for actually violating people's rights, and such a basic issue of the right to sleep or the right to rest. But if they can scare them away for the threat of their losing their property, and the claim that, oh, we didn't do that because we offered them a place to go, they're really just service resistant, and that's been happening, and that is what they have been doing. Anyway, this April 27th, 2000 flashback has lots of interviews from car dwellers, folks who are ground sleepers. Becky Johnson, our beggarbacker Becky, as I used to call her, was a co-host and a co-producer of the show at that time, and she was in the studio talking about some of the issues. There was a lot of active agitation by people like dead-on David Silva, who was pushing for ending the sleeping ban in a reasonable fashion, giving people legal places to sleep without alarming the horses or freaking out the merchants or terrorizing the West Side businesses, West Side residents as well. Then we have Julie Constanza Gomez, the whole issue of the Dolphin Lee project, which became the Nueva Vista housing project, which involved the demolition of a lot of low-income Hispanic housing, housing that largely involved Latino folks. And that was pushed by former Mayor Catherine Byers, the new mayor at this time of this netcast or broadcast, actually. We were broadcasting on the air then. Was Keith Sugar, who has since died. Anyway, you're going to hear lots of discussion of the city council's machinations and the activists trying to get the city council to face the issue of the right to sleep. The second flashback is from the show that happened 3 days later on the April 30th. David Silva talks about his campaign to end the sleeping ban. James Ney about his sleeping ban table and chalking on the sidewalk for which he was arrested. There used to be a thing called Alibaba's Cafe, which is now Cafe Campesino. If you know the little green, one of the green kiosks that sort of is faces the information kiosk in front of New Leaf. He was somewhat rough-spoken fellow who was on good terms with the police, and the two of those business owners, along with New Leaf, colluded to set up this chained area that you now see downtown in 2023. It used to be a social gathering place, but some of these businesses didn't like the youth that gathered there, and so they turned it into a leased private space on the sidewalk, ripping it away from the public. But you'll hear this flashback is from a time when it was still actually public space, and people were using it in a public manner. You'll hear Mike Schmidt, who is a Chamber of Commerce conservative in some ways, who became a very strong advocate for ending the sleeping ban. These were the days when a lot of people came together, and even the city council of that time was elected on the promise to do something about it, and when they did, they turned tail and ran. I'll have to say that the city council that was elected in 2018, which was council members Glover, Crone, and Cummings, the only one of them turned tail, and that was, of course, Cummings, but that's all it took to defeat the attempt to reform the criminalization of the homeless, which is now going full force, as you can hear from these sweeps. So listen in. Enjoy it if you can. Learn from it if you can. Try to find ways we can stop the city's authorities from doing the same thing again. And if you have thoughts, comments, criticism, or you want to be involved in ending this kind of activity, give me a call at 423-HUFF, 423-HUFF. That's 423-4833. HUFF is Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. And we're a ragtag band of activists who do a lot of talking, get together and bemoan the situation, and wonder if someday we'll take actions to change it.